And we're rolling now, and can you tell the difference?
Check, check, yes.
We're on? Yeah, can you tell?
Yes.
You can tell, like, the tone is completely different from what happened before we were on.
Yeah, we've completely changed. You're getting our, like, full persona
I
now.
I know, isn't it amazing?
The swear-in persona.
Would you introduce yourself, please?
Yes, my name is Allison Crutchfield.
Are you going to introduce the rest of the gang, too?
No, just me. No, we're called Swear-In. My name is Allison Crutchfield.
They might want to participate in the thing at the end, though. You never know.
I'm very curious about the thing at the end. To my left is our bass player, Amanda Bartley. To my right is guitar player and co-songwriting friend, Kyle Gilbride. And to the far right is drummer Jeff Bolt.
I'll do this in the announcer voice. The last version of the band broke up in 2015.
Correct.
Duh. But that aligned with a non-band breakup, so to speak.
It did.
See,
you
I
just
like
jump
that.
Right to it. Yeah.
I like that. You toured with your sister, you made a solo record, and then time passed, and here we are.
Here we are.
Amazing.
We're back. I feel like people don't really ask us why we got back together that much or why we broke up. I feel like people just generally come in with like a, hey, I'm excited or whatever, you know?
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Why'd you break up?
Well, I mean, you know.
And why'd you get back together?
Well, I think there were a couple reasons. I think that, you know, obviously Kyle and I had a shift in our relationship. We were dating for a while. We broke up. We decided that it would be better to not do the band. But we also had like some interpersonal stuff within the like former lineup of the band. And we kind of just decided to call it. And then, I don't know, after 3 years, we just sort of all had a moment together that at least the three of us did where we sort of reimagined what it would be like to do the band in like a different way, to shift the dynamic a little bit, and we all got really excited about that.
But Trio Minus,
I don't want to talk about him.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, okay, so how do we not talk about it? Because here's my problem. My problem is that I agree that you don't have to talk about it and don't have to want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But here's how it is in every single thing I read. They're a trio now. Bump.
Yeah.
Right? And that's affected the sound. Bump. And that doesn't help anybody.
Right.
You know, with I mean, it's not about what happened. Because bad things happen to bands. Mm. So, you know, shite happens
right.
in bands.
It does. You know, I think that the best way would just to say that we all grew apart. We were a band. When we started this band, I was 21 years old, you know. I had a different threshold.
Now you're 22, of course.
Yeah, exactly. I've grown a lot.
Yeah.
I think that my threshold for what I'm like willing to tolerate and not willing to tolerate has changed a lot and evolved just like the more experience that I've gained. And yeah, I think that we all just kind of grew apart with this person and we decided to do this band without him. And part of that was we just didn't, you know, we don't want to make it about that, so to speak. So,
But the other thing they make it about is minus a bassist.
Yeah.
So how does a band exist without
you
the
find
kafunk,
an amazing
funk of a bassist?
You find an amazing new asking. Bass player. That's how you do it.
I know, but again, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is where it always ends.
Right.
Minus a bassist. Boom.
Plus a new one. Yeah, we can talk about Amanda. Amanda's great. We just wanted to find someone who was an excellent bass player, who liked our music, who we personally got along with great, who Amanda and I have toured together a lot in the past. She was tour managing Waxahachie for the last year, so she and I got to spend we've known each other for about almost...
You realize we met when you were doing that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. I was going to just go there in a second. Yes.
Yes. So she and I have toured together a lot, and... Yeah, I think that was a big thing for us moving forward was just finding someone who, like, personally we really vibed with, who was also just a really proficient bass player. And Amanda was both of those things.
What a concept.
I know. You'd think that it would be easier than it is, but...
It's not.
It's not at all.
Oh, believe me, I know. Just out of curiosity, we're not going to name any names, obviously, but what did you call Mac... And ask him, what were you having a hard time with? This is like the Dear Abby section of the conversation.
I was having a hard time sort of straddling the line as a... I feel like being a producer is a thing. You know, I think that I was just... I've never produced anything that I didn't also play on. So this was a completely new experience for me. And it was, I was working with a very young band who were wonderful people, really excellent players. But once we got in the studio, things just really took a turn, and it was really difficult to navigate.
Getting them where you want to get them is tricky stuff.
Yeah, and just kind of straddling that line between getting what you want out of them and letting them do their thing, and kind of trying to figure out, you know, a balance, and not really having the experience to know, like, what was going too far, what was not going far enough.
What did he tell you?
You know, Mac was, as you probably would expect, was very... He really advocated for the band and was like, it's their record. It's their, you know, and just really, you got to
Give them what they want and make it great.
Exactly. Which is exactly what you'd expect from Mac. And it was great advice.
But not easy to follow.
Not easy at all to follow, no.
Okay. I pull out a lot of quotes. Like a new band playing old songs, more collaboration, democratic attitude. Tell me more.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did. Oh, yes, you did. Oh, I don't make these up.
Was that me?
But no, but it's interesting saying like a new, and I'll help choreograph this.
Sure.
Like a new band playing old songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Old songs are usually songs you love.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't pay attention to them if they weren't old songs. So
right.
Creating a new song that's an old song with a new band that's an old band. This is interesting stuff because obviously the fans who've waited 5 years for the next version of this have expectations.
Right. Totally. I think a big part of it is just, you know, it's been 5 years and we're all relatively young people. So we've just changed a lot, and our dynamic, our friendships and relationships have changed like extremely since when we did Surfing Strange. So I think that just... That in and of itself has made our band different. We're still the same people and we love each other and we love the songs, but like, because we're bringing a different perspective, I think that it's just inevitably a different vibe. It's better. I think we're all evolved people a little bit more than we were, you know.
How about living in CA versus PA?
Oh yeah, that it makes a huge difference. I think, you know, like me being, it being a little bit of a long distance band and there being space there, I think that it makes our time together like a little more focused and a little more, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, like Allison was saying, I think that definitely contributes like a level of focus when we're together now versus the kind of like we all live in the city or we all live in West Philly specifically and we're kind of chaotic and young and disorganized, and it's nice. It's yeah, it all definitely contributes to like the more, I don't know, just ordered feel of things now, which is I think good for
together,
all of us.
Really focused,
we
right?
Really, yeah,
not putting words in your mouth.
Yes, no, but definitely versus. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something to the raw, like, wacky energy of the younger version of what we were doing, but there's something more, yeah, dialed in feeling about this.
How is LA treating you? But do you feel like more musical because you're there, et cetera, et cetera?
It's hard to say. I feel like I love it there so much, and I've been wanting to live there for many years, so the timing was just perfect, and so I went there. But I have been on tour so much in the
you've barely really lived there
that
yet.
I've barely really lived there, so it's harder to say if I've been more musical in the sense that I've been writing more, because that's not the case. But I have been touring more and working on more projects and starting to do things like producing. That's something that maybe wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been living there, you know, because it was for a band there, a label there. But yeah, it's interesting. I think that it's like it's the first time in my life that I've moved somewhere and I've been like, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. It feels
cool.
Yeah, it feels like this is exactly my place at this time.
So before we get to the music, I'm just going to do it. You have a history with a couple of cities.
Yes.
Including the one that we're sitting in now.
Yes.
So do you take all your clothing out of the van?
Yeah, it's all in here. Yeah.
Like, do you take everything out?
Yeah, it's all in the venue
you
currently.
Now, how long ago was that?
That was almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, any friend I have here is just like, bring everything inside. Any venue that we play is like, bring everything inside.
I mean, though.
It's really crazy, and it's
bands,
yeah.
Bands, I mean, it's kind of like in the 60s when bands were touring, this wasn't even, or even the 70s, this wasn't even something that anybody would think about.
Right. I mean, and it's kind of a thing. It's a thing in other cities as well, but I agree that San Francisco is without a doubt the one where every single place
we go. I
don't
want to diss the place we are, but
yeah,
I just want to warn all musicians just on principle. I went to Nashville for the first time in my life on some production about 6 months ago, and I spent a whole bunch of days there. And I don't know, it's like it's Music City, but it's kind of like it's Music City.
Right.
So Nashville's not a fave either.
It's not
is
a
it?
Fave either. No, that's so funny. Have I said this publicly? I'm like,
yeah, you have. But I want to go deeper because I relate.
That's fine. Let's talk about it.
I got there and I'm busy doing production. I'm just not feeling the vibe. No, maybe it was better in the olden days or something.
Sure. I think that it's just lackluster for bands to play. In my experience, it's been lackluster as a place to play a show. And I think it's because of the oversaturation of shows. It's a music city.
People are just bored by nature.
People are just, yeah, they're like not, they're not as easy to impress, I guess, if that makes sense.
Being more confident as a songwriter and a producer happened while you were solo, obviously.
Yeah.
So can you think of one thing that you learned during that time that you've brought to this new release?
Yeah, I mean, I think that just part of doing this and getting older and gaining more experience is just like sort of knowing your worth and trusting yourself. I think both of those things are things that really happened to me between making Surfing Strange and making Fall Into the Sun. I think I just kind of like really started to trust my instincts more.
So with that in mind, the sound for this record, mm-hmm. It's 5 years later. It's still the band. It's still got a name.
Yeah.
How do you approach the sound? How do you say, okay, this is what I want? You know, as you're writing songs, which we'll get into a second.
Right.
How do you think about, okay, I want it to sound like this? And what decisions did you make that make it either different or the same? Or
right. I don't know that Kyle and I really had a lot of talks about like specific sonic things that we both shared and wanted, I think. But what we definitely did talk about and what we definitely did want was for it to sound like this band, but in 2018. You know, I think that with...
So, Kyle, what's an example of that? What would be like this band 5 years later that wasn't there 5 years ago?
That's a good question. I think there's a softer touch. I feel like the... I feel like just more nuanced. I'm not sure. And I didn't want to overcook the actual production of the record either.
That's an interesting thing. I hear that. That I get.
Yeah. That's definitely a thing. Yeah, you know.
Well, I think that comes down to proving yourself, because bands try to make it bigger, 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 and that doesn't always result in, you know, in bigger.
Right. I thought like kind of writing these sort of more, even I would say more sensitive, more. Yeah, toned down in a way songs, although I still think it sounds like quite like loud and good. I didn't want to, yeah, make it over polished either. So a little bit of that raw energy was exactly what I want.
But
and I
writing songs about drifting away, is that painful or cathartic at this moment in time, now that you've been through it and you're on the other side?
I think it's cathartic. It definitely didn't feel painful for me. And I think part of it was just feeling, just feeling good about where I am now. Just feeling like sort of at peace, so to speak, made that process easier and more cathartic,
and
I guess.
Writing an adult album is 29. I mean, it's interesting because in the old days, right, you were an adult at 18. But these days, people take a lot longer to become adults.
To take on the adult.
Take on the adult responsibility.
Sure.
So you feel like you're now finally an adult at the tender age of?
29.
Yes, that was right on this piece of paper. But yes. I figured I'd let you say it because I want to be polite here.
Yes, 29. I think so. I'm the youngest of the crew, but I still feel like I'm an adult for sure.
I also feel like the world demands a tremendous more, like, from understanding from people nowadays.
Yes,
and I don't think that 29 or 30 is an out, like, I feel like a lot of people are maybe taking on greater responsibilities, but I think the understanding that's demanded from people now is just far greater.
So this is early days, right? You know, for this record,
it's not even
people gonna have to wait 5 years. I mean, how's it feeling? See, now this is interesting. If only we were doing video here. We got a this, and then we got a...
You were nodding. And
then we got a, Yeah. Need to think about that.
We've talked about it. I don't think we want to wait that. I think we want to keep going. We don't have anything. I can't say that. I don't have anything written. But I think when we were banned in 2013 was when I was first starting to write solo songs, and there was a very clear divide where, like, the solo songs were the really, like simpler chord changes, very poppy, very obviously going to be like a synth song. It was like very divided where there was like this, okay, this song I will play on keyboards and this song I will play on guitars, and those are the solo songs and those are the swearing songs. But now I think, you know, I'm kind of thinking about doing new things with solo bands, so I think it'll get trickier. But I do think that there's like an obvious, yeah, there's not really like a cut and dry thing anymore.
Hooks per se.
No, yeah, it's not a cut and dry thing for me anymore. I think that, you know, the heavier rock songs will always be the swearing songs, and the more gentle songs will be the solo songs for me.
Yeah, I used to think it was like more about themes, but now I don't think so. I think
that's sound.
Yeah, now I think it's more just about energy. Yeah.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside. And then everybody can participate. You get to pick a pile of songs in between. And